are still the country music. Here's the fantasy fool in 3, 2.
Every fantasy has one fool, but this one has two. And the greatest lesson in life is to know even fools are right sometimes.
Looks like the upper hand is on the other foot.
It's time for the Fantasy Fool Show.
Tell it, pray do.
Here's Brian and Mac.
This is the weirdest fantasy season. Anyway, Mac, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good. I hope you had a happy Christmas and Merry New Year to you.
Yeah, same to you. Same to all of our listeners out there. Interesting weekend, as always, as we come to a conclusion to this fantasy season. I hope that some of you out there are playing for something this week, even if it's for a consolation or if your league pays out third place or whatever the case, or has different prizes. You know, we don't in any of my leagues, but I know some leagues have prizes for, you know, like special prizes
right.
for those who finish dead last.
That's a great idea. You know, because it's all in fun. It's all in how you try to play the game. And I'm sure that most people that come in last don't just set their team and forget it and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
They put some effort into it. So really, it makes sense to be rewarded, even if it's a fun reward, for taking last and trying your best.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, this week we've got a little bit of a different format because we're kind of wrapping things up, but are going to talk a little bit about at the start here about who screwed you and who won you. And I think there's plenty of that to go around for everyone. And,
yeah, on both
and,
sides.
And I'll start with what ended up costing me and what was ultimately a terrible move on my behalf, but I needed a lot of upside. And I decided to start Justin Fields over Joe Burrow, and it cost me a title game in one of my leagues.
Yeah, who would have ever thought, and here he's working on an injury that
you don't know this
and
going,
not being transparent that and not for fantasy purposes but altogether.
Yeah,
you know, they're supposed to disclose that stuff, and maybe he'll get
100%. And I can tell you, in hindsight's always 20/20, but I can tell you, had he had a disclosed injury, I would have never started him.
Oh yeah, no, not at all. He should have had,
because
a
you know
there.
Especially to a foot and a shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
that's
the two most
deal.
Important things you need when you're a running quarterback.
Yeah,
you need to use your feet and you need to lower your shoulder.
Yeah, he was my saving grace for Lamar Jackson being a dud this year, and it ended up Justin Fields was a dud.
I'll tell you my other lump of coal in that same league. So it wasn't all Justin Fields' fault. Like, if I could have had a bigger day from Ramondre Stevenson, that would have helped a lot as well. 3 total points.
Yeah, see, I had Ramondre for a little bit, and I dropped him because I wasn't believing all the hype around him. Like, no, this guy just doesn't have that top 10 status like everybody keeps saying he
Well, he's
has.
Sort of like, he kind of, toward the end of the season, he fell into Miles Sanders territory where he'd have like a really good week and then he would disappear, and then he got banged up, and then he'd have a really good week and then he disappeared, and he disappeared at the worst possible time.
The lesson here is just never, ever, 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 can I add one more ever?
Sure.
Trust Patriot running backs. Do not.
Yeah, that's
not
absolutely
put
true
them
too.
On a team and keep them. If you're going to stream, you may stream a good matchup, but it could still bite you in the ass. So you got to be careful.
I just hate it when I don't take my own advice.
Same here.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
It's true. Now, who done you in?
You know what? Justin Herbert done me in all season. I, honestly, now it's 66 points. That he should have more, that he should have scored. That would put me in contention for first place on a standard league team.
Yeah.
And that bums me out. And, you know, a few other little things here and there. Dameon Pierce was a letdown for me in the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I dropped him. He came out and did somebody very well, but then he got hurt and he's out.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, as I was streaming running backs, paid off for me to stream and let Pierce go, even though I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel Carlson at kicker really kind of bummed me out. Justin Tucker at kicker bummed me out.
They kind of they had some inexplicable misses. Even Evan McPherson from the Bengals, some of these kickers who did really well first half of the season, and really you're just like, man, this is a set and forget. They all of a sudden started to get the whatever you want to call them, the yips. At the end of the year, like McPherson missing extra points. I mean, it was just Tucker missed a few here and there. It was very strange to see some of those developments. I think if you had Zonovan Knight, Bam Knight, the last 2 weeks, a disaster.
Really bummed out. Yeah,
absolute disaster.
I was really crushed that I didn't get him because I wanted to pick him up, but I didn't have the confidence in him that everybody else had. I'm like, okay, I'm going to grab him, and we'll see where it goes the next game, and then go from there. And I never had the opportunity to own him, and thank goodness, because it just did not work out for me at all. It just Jerick McKinnon worked out great.
If you started any of your Broncos, Raiders, Ravens, or Packers, you were wildly disappointed, except for maybe the Packers' defense. Ravens' defense was pretty decent, too. Raiders' defense was okay. But all the offensive players in there were very tepid at best, and then many of them were non-existent.
Right.
And that goes for the Dolphins, too. If you had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, fine. You did great. Anybody else? Even Tua,
a bad game.
A disaster.
There were a lot of quarterbacks that were disasters. Where were they throwing to? Yeah. Everybody was throwing the ball high.
Yep.
They're releasing the ball way too soon. And here's the other thing
Geno
that's driving
Smith,
me
terrible.
Nuts, too,
yeah.
with running backs in the league. What in the world is with the stutter? Commit to the run.
Yes.
Stop stopping. You are costing yourself 2, 5, 6, 7, 10, even a big explosion play.
Yeah.
It seems like every one of them is looking at, they're not letting the play develop, and it drives me nuts because there could be so many more fantasy points scored if they would just commit to the doggone run.
Right. Sorry. There's not, you know, what Brian is describing is there just aren't, you don't see very many just sort of straight ahead downfield running backs anymore. Just like, I am going to run as hard as I can between these two tackles, and I don't care what you're going to do. But you see a lot of this dancing. You know, this goes back to like the LeSean McCoys and, you know, some of the those running backs that, granted, were awesome.
Right.
But, you know, you see a lot more of that, and defenses kind of tune in on it. And there's been a I think with the exception of Jerick McKinnon and Austin Ekeler and a handful of others, the passing running back was sort of a letdown this year. Ramondre Stevenson did most of his work as a passing running back.
Right.
But there were very few of those guys, right? I mean, a lot of times people really you know, Jonathan Taylor was hurt. We'll talk about him later most of the year. You know, he had some banged up running backs. But really that was, you know, along with tight ends, I mean, that was kind of a wasteland this year.
That was horrible. Rashad White with Tampa Bay actually filled the bill there. I think they used him. Tom used him very well. Matter of fact, I was just so disappointed toward the end of the game. I'm like, that's it. I've seen enough. I've got 3 points out of Rashad White. Game is over. But you know what? If I just go turn the game off and go to bed, I'll get my points. And all of a sudden I heard my mom yell, they got a touchdown. I'm like, no way. So I got up, went to my phone, and went, oh, we just went from 3 points to 10 points. He got his touchdown.
Yeah.
So, excellent. You know, and that was really cool. But it was actually kind of fun watching Tom pass to Rashad White.
Rashad White, yep.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, the kid just, he doesn't have a run game, and it's unfortunate. But for fantasy football purposes, you know, he paid off a little bit, not a whole lot. And now I'm really curious to see how James Cook, and I didn't even pay attention to Zach Davis last night, or Zach Moss. What happened with Zach Moss last
night? Both of those running backs last night did absolutely nothing. So I think some people really committed to them because they had no other choice.
Overcommitment.
It just didn't work out. I think, you know, the Chiefs-Seahawks game was billed as kind of going to be a shootout. It just turned into a complete dud. I mean, DK Metcalf put up 12 or 13 points or whatever. But, I mean, other than that, there really wasn't much going on there. Mahomes is Mahomes. He did fine. McKinnon was okay. But other than that, it was just nothing, really. I mean, you know, Kenneth Walker III, Isaiah Pacheco, a ho-hum, 10 or 11 points. Nobody was scoring any touchdowns. That's
right,
the problem.
Yeah, that's really weird.
And that's that. And we talked about this last week. We've talked about it all season. 10 to 12 points from your players across the board is what you expect. I mean, that you're usually hitting your projections at that point, but you need those touchdowns from two, maybe three, hopefully, players, not quarterbacks,
that
really will put you over the edge and win you games. And there's just such a lack of those touchdowns, especially from the running backs.
Right.
But you know, some folks did. I mean, like Ekeler last night, who just, you know, was the only offense.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Cam Akers has come out of the woodwork.
You know why Cam Akers came out of the woodwork? They're using him.
Yes.
You know, all they did was they just fiddle-farted around with him, never really committed to him, never gave him the opportunity to even find out what he was all about, and he was forced into that situation, And good for him, because now they found out that they would have made a huge mistake had he gone to somebody else. I have a feeling.
Yeah. I'll tell you, going back, you know, you talked about those downhill running backs. I'll tell you, there was two of them this last weekend that did you very well, and that's Foreman from Carolina and Najee Harris from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, Pete, they were so down on Dante Foreman that he was left on the waiver wire. I even picked up Zach Moss instead of Dante Foreman, and it made a huge mistake there.
He was great.
Oh, it was
absolutely great.
A disaster.
Some quarterbacks that probably did you well this week, and if you were starting them, boy, you are probably very happy right now. Trevor Lawrence keeps rolling. Gardner Minshew did well. Dak had his best game in ages. Burrow had a great game. Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins had great games. Jared Allen had his typical game. Mahomes did well. Danny Dimes, a.k.a. Vanilla Vic, a.k.a. Vanilla Vic is his new nickname, by the way. And Sam Darnold, you know, they did well for you. And then at tight end, you did have some people show up. Ingram had another great game. Pat Freiermuth had a good, decent game. I mean, that's all you want.
Yeah, right.
But the real stars at tight end this week were Hockenson, who had a monster week. And I happen to have him.
You're welcome.
He catapulted me into the title game in the Carpies League. George Kittle has looked – all of a sudden, George Kittle is rediscovered with with Purdy at quarterback.
Yeah, that's been a – and isn't it interesting –
yeah,
how a different quarterback can change the outcome of a player.
Yep. Tyler Higbee looked great again for the Rams, and that's
like
great. All of a sudden, Baker Mayfield and the Rams and Cam Akers and Tyler Higbee, this is really something else.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Shane Zylstra from Detroit, who I don't know if anybody was starting him, but he single-handedly, I think, ruined a lot of people.
Yes.
Because he got all the touchdowns and no one else did.
And I don't know why anybody would have started him. But being desperate because he'd actually done something. But it's Brandon Zylstra?
He
used to be a Viking. I think
Shane Zylstra.
Brandon used to be with the Vikings. Because they were talking about Zylstra used to be with the Vikings. Like, no, that's not. Shane Zylstra is the brother.
Yes.
Is it Brandon? Anyway, I think they're both on the Detroit team. It's just the other Zylstras. Is on the practice squad or something. And
well, Zylstra killed you if you didn't have
it. Zylstra kills you.
If you had some Lions in your lineup. You know, and then also I just think, you know, just to say, just the last couple of parting shots before we have to hit our first break. The Buccaneers keep winning. We'll talk more about them after the break. The Cardinals, except for James Conner, did well. And really, you know, just some of our big-name receivers – got you through the week, you know, Jefferson, Lamb, Higgins, Smith, Waddle, Bourne, Tariq even. And then lots of receivers in the 10 to 12 point range. So, I mean, I think if you're going to put, say, if anybody had a great week this week, other than the quarterbacks we mentioned, I think wide receivers sort of across the board did pretty well. Now, there were some stinkers, obviously, like Davante Adams crushed people. But other than that, it was a good week.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think with Mike White coming back now to finish out the season, that may change Bam Knight's outlook on fantasy points because they are a completely different team with Mike White for some odd reason.
Yes, and he is starting this week.
Yep, it's going to happen.
Everywhere I turn, football.
It's the Fantasy Fools on the Ranch, AM 910.
Attention seniors, if you're over 60 and either unable to drive or unwilling to tolerate the myriad of idiots who seem to suffer from seasonal driving amnesia, please listen closely as you may be eligible for
free data bus ride.
Leave your winter blues behind this year as you travel in style and comfort to unlimited destinations in beloved Brookings. See the downtown lights over some hot cocoa or stroll through beautiful McCrory Gardens all for just one $3 fare. Terms and conditions apply. Call BetaBus at 692-42s for details. BetaBus, picking you up and taking you everywhere this holiday season.
When your drains are backed up with grease, hair, action figures, or Legos, we have your back. And if you have old pipes with a lot of rust or scale, we can strip that buildup away and breathe new life into them. I'm Jerry Kozad with Roto-Rooter. From major city sewer line obstructions to the smallest drains in your home, we can handle it. We proudly serve the Sioux Falls and Brookings areas and everywhere in between. When you need us, we'll be there.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Roto-Rooter!
Ryan and Mac, the Fantasy Fools.
Oh, awesome. I forgot about that one, too. Well, we'll keep rolling on here. Now it's MVPs and LVPs. And, let me start because JD was talking a little bit about Kirk Cousins. Honestly, the MVP in fantasy football this year is Kirk Cousins and Jefferson, that stack. I mean, it was unbelievable. I shouldn't say it out loud, but I'm going to say it out loud. The Vikings just can't lose a game. Or they don't, I shouldn't say that. They don't want to lose a game. That's the difference between the Vikings this year and the Vikings of the last 30 years. They don't want to, and their coach do not want to, and I mean seriously, at all costs, don't want to lose. And that's what really makes this a serious potential year for a Super Bowl win is the fact that they just aren't giving up. We've watched over the years, they just give up. It's like, oh, crap. We're going to lose this game by three. You know, look at how many times they've just took it to a knee and just went, well, that's fine. We'll come back at halftime. No, wait a minute. You've got 55 seconds left and you're taking a knee? You know, try to score.
Yeah.
And now, at all costs, they're trying to score. And their defense is so damn bad.
Yeah.
But their offense is making up for it. And that's what makes a good team.
Yep.
Especially for the Minnesota Vikings. So, anyway. We move on. Now, the MVPs, I like your list. I added some to it. Mine are maybe more honorable mention kind of things, but worth a mention. So you start, and I'll follow.
My MVP is Jalen Hurts. Now, I know he was hurt last week, and that cost a lot of people.
Yeah, but you can't.
But season long, he got you to your semifinals or your championship game. So he's hands down, I think. And he. It's unfortunate, too, that injury will also probably cost him the actual league MVP.
Yes.
Because the Vegas odds, once he went out, they shifted from him being the front runner to Mahomes. It just instantly flipped.
Yep.
And that's too bad that he got hurt. But I also Mahomes, Jared Allen, Burrow, Kirk Cousins, and Tua, all of those were my honorable mentions at quarterback.
Okay, so I had Lawrence. He ended up he's in the number five spot. Geno's in the number six spot. And you got to look at Jared Goff. Everybody wrote Jared Goff off, and he actually looked good this year. He's the number 11 quarterback for fantasy points in a PPR league, and you can't argue with that because Justin Herbert, I believe, is just behind him.
Yeah,
you know, and I thought those three were worth a mention.
No,
they did help teams survive.
I agree 100%. And I think that's one thing about Detroit is that they're a team coming, they're on the rise. And I believe that what he's done this year, they will not be drafting a quarterback next year. I mean, I think they'll look to shore up other positions, like their run defense.
Yeah, right.
Which was a disaster and cost them that game this last
week. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Running back, who do you like?
You know, honestly, I got to go with Josh Jacobs for the simple fact that the last 3 years, I'm like, I'm not touching that guy with a 10-foot pole. And he really played some serious football. He's the number three running back right now. And he impressed me. You know, he cleaned my clock in one of my matchups. And, you know, had he not scored that last touchdown, I would have won, would have been in a different position, played someone else, and I probably could be playing. You and I could be playing in the championship for some odd, goofy reason. But I'm going with Josh Jacobs, and that's my guy on the list because the others that you have listed here, Tony Pollard was great for me, and I'm sure it was great for a lot of other people, too, and that was a surprise.
Yep, very good. Eckler was my MVP, and my wish I would have drafted with my one pick in one league instead of Jonathan Taylor. And again, last night, I think he showed what MVPs do. He scored two touchdowns. If you had him and you needed him, he came up and he showed up. I like Josh Jacobs too, but he was AWOL for so much of the early part of the season. So he didn't do you many favors, but if you had him in the second half toward the end, that's when he really exploded.
And that's the most important.
Yeah.
Having a little bit of a dud running back or anybody in the beginning in those first six, seven, eight games, it isn't that detrimental, but getting those points in the second half are absolutely huge. So I'm going with you. And here's one other thing that I want to mention real quick, too. If you're like me and I'm starting to change my ways, like Austin Eckler, I had him maybe 2 years, and I'm like, okay, I just need something different. I've never had Patrick Mahomes. I've always gone with whatever quarterback I get next. And so I've Dalvin Cook, same way. Had him for 3 years, decided, don't want him this year. I've had him. Justin Jefferson, I'm like, I just have to keep him. So the thing is, like Jonathan Taylor, I wasn't buying the hype on him.
Yeah.
You know? So don't be afraid to take Austin Eckler for the fifth or sixth year. You know, eventually here you're going to start to see a decline in his age and you're going to have to move on. But don't be afraid to grab Travis Kelce, even though he's been on your fantasy team for 3 years. You're like, well, I got to do something different. I can't keep using the same players. Well, you can because they produce.
Yep, 100%. So. McCaffrey, Barkley, Henry, James Conner, and Pollard and Zeke were my honorable mentions in that category. And there are others, too, that could be in there. But I think those folks were consistent week in and week out.
Yeah,
you know,
nice.
You just set them and forget them, and you never worried about them.
Nice to see Saquon Barkley and James Conner have good years because they're good backs. I mean, they're hard running backs, and they're not quite the downhill guy,
Yeah, and the Giants are in a position to make the playoffs, and it's in large part because of him. And that's what an MVP does. Yep. Wide receiver, I think we both agree. It's just there's Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate to say this because there are a lot of other superstar performances, but he was just a superstar above the superstars.
Yeah, putting up all of those points without touchdowns.
Yeah. It was matchup proof. He did have a couple of weeks where his points were down, but a week in and week out, I mean, good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Truly amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you've got the honorable mentions. I've got one. Davante Adams, just for the fact that I didn't think he was going to be worth a crap with Carr. And frankly, he wasn't great with Carr, but he did a hell of a lot better than I thought he was going to do with Carr.
Yeah. So. Diggs, Hill and Waddle, Smith and A.J. Brown for the Eagles. T. Higgins, actually. Now, why would I say T. Higgins and not Ja'Marr Chase? Because Ja'Marr Chase was hurt for about 6-7 weeks.
Yeah,
and
right.
All T. Higgins did was explode. And he exploded again last week. So he was if you had him, I had him in one league in a stack with Joe Burrow my Kentucky league, and they just produced week in and week out. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who just, you know, with all those receivers in Detroit, he still got so much volume. It was really incredible. Tight end, there's really Kelce and no one else. I mean, we've got a few honorable mentions, but.
Yeah, I think Hockenson, I'm disappointed. I let him go right before he went to the Vikings. Had I known there was going to be a change, I wouldn't have dropped him.
Yep.
Because with Detroit, Goff was just not needing a tight end and still hasn't used a tight end.
Yep.
So he would have been a complete dud, but he has been the saving grace for the Minnesota Vikings.
Evan Engram did okay. I mean, he had a couple of smash weeks once Lawrence got rolling. And Tyler Higbee was hit and miss, but produced quite a lot, especially toward the end.
Right.
Pat Freiermuth from the Steelers was slow and steady throughout the year. So you had some slow and steadies, but really it's Kelce. And then Hockenson, of course, that can explode at any time.
Right. No doubt.
And then Kittle at the
Kittle
end, too.
Yep.
But he did nothing for a majority of the year. And really, you wasted high draft picks on some of these guys. And, you know, you just think they're going to have a smash year, and then they just don't.
I would never draft Kittle high, ever.
Yeah.
You know, in any of it, Kelce is a number one draft pick, period.
Yep.
And so is Patrick Mahomes and Allen, other than that, you know.
I think, you know, if we talk about least valuable players, I mean, there's no particular order here, but I think, you know, Jonathan Taylor was probably one of the, if not the biggest disappointment just based on draft, his draft position.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara had some monster weeks, but week in and week out was not consistent, and that was a problem for a lot of people. Cooper Kupp is the best receiver in football, not named Justin Jefferson. So it's not that he's an LVP, but based on his – but he is in the sense that you probably drafted him very, very high, and then he's out. And and the Rams overall had a disappointing season. So that really crushed a lot of people, sent a lot of people scrambling. Lamar Jackson, a dud for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, good early, you know, did some things, shouldered the load. And then the wheels just sort of came off. And unlike you, I think the Carr Adams matchup was a dud because I think a lot of people stacked them.
It was a dud because the hype was too much.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have taken Davante Adams. I would have put him on the bench is what I would have done.
Yeah.
And I would have used him on occasion.
Yep.
But to rely on that pair, it wasn't there for me.
Yep.
I just couldn't do it.
Tight ends overall were a bust. Kyle Pitts was a bust. You know, the Broncos, the Texans, Patriots, Saints, Browns, Rams, Cardinals, Bucks, Ravens, with the exception of a handful of players on those teams, those teams overall just were not good.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you there. I can't disagree with you.
I mean, they had some players individually that might, like Olave for the Saints. Right. All of a sudden, you know, he's great and putting up great numbers, and then all of a sudden, where's he go? Where did he go?
Gone.
Complete disappearing act.
A complete script change. I was really bummed out at Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, and obviously Brady and Rodgers.
100%. You
know, although Brady, when he wants to win, he'll win.
Yep.
Cook, Mixon, and Jones bummed me out. CeeDee Lamb bummed me out, too. I just expected more production, better production from them, and it just didn't happen. Big Bob, I thought this was going to be Big Bob's year with the Packers, and the thing is, Rodgers really never showed up to play ball. So there it is.
Yep.
And then Tucker and Carlson were bummers at kickers, and New England blew my mind. They're the number one defense right now, and I just didn't expect that to be.
Yep. Is this the real life?
More of the Fantasy Fools.
Is this just fantasy?
Next. On the Ranch, AM 910.
Attention seniors, if you're over 60 and either unable to drive or unwilling to tolerate the myriad of idiots who seem to suffer from seasonal driving amnesia, please listen closely as you may be eligible for
free data bus rides.
Leave your winter blues behind this year as you travel in style and comfort to unlimited destinations in beloved Brookings. See the downtown lights over some hot cocoa or stroll through beautiful McCrory Gardens, all for just one $3 fare. Terms and conditions apply. Call BetaBus at 692-42s for details. BetaBus, picking you up and taking you everywhere this holiday season.
The panic button is for emergencies only.
Where's the button?
Here comes the meat wagon.
This is a Class 1 emergency.
Well, all right then.
Yeah, a little bit different this week. We're not going to talk much about waivers because there's really not much left out there. You're probably pretty set except for, you know, a defense or a kicker or whatever. Injuries to watch: Justin Fields, banged up shoulder and foot, undisclosed last week, but then disclosed conveniently after the game after he screwed everybody over. And then Tua is now in the concussion protocol. Kamara.
We're coming up in the two-minute warning.
That's the two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning.
Two-minute whistle blows, it's your ball game.
Two-minute warning. Here we go.
So anyway, continue.
Watson for the Packers, got to keep an eye on him because I think a lot of people are depending on him. Hunter Henry for the Patriots, if anybody cares. A couple of interesting things to monitor, too, are the situations in Tennessee and Jacksonville. Tennessee and Jacksonville can rest players this week, and you're going to say, well, why would they do that? Because the game this week doesn't matter because they play each other in the last week, and whoever wins that game goes to the playoffs.
Right.
So if you've got Titans, Derrick Henry, for example, if you've got Jaguars, Zay,
right,
ETN, et
right,
cetera,
right,
monitor that situation very carefully. Now, Jacksonville's a little bit different. I think they will play their starters because they're kind of rolling right now. And they play on Sunday. The Titans play on Thursday, that quick turnaround. So it's kind of watch those players. It could be very interesting to see what happens with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, one thing to note here, you've got Greg Dortch down on the the waiver wire. You know,
on the injuries. Or
he's injured now again?
Yes, he's injured.
Yes, he's injured. Okay, here's the deal. Watch that kid.
Yep.
Because he's if you ever watch me, I think I picked him up three different times. But injuries, I'm like, okay, I got to drop the kid. But he had a great game this weekend. The thing is, he is another one of those guys like Christian Kirk that I was starting before anybody else started Christian Kirk.
Yep.
Same with T. Higgins. I was starting T. Higgins before anybody else was starting T. Higgins. And I think Greg Dortch is going to be one of those guys, maybe not with the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes somewhere else, he's going to be a number one or a number two wide receiver rather than a three or a four.
And I just want to close on one last thing. It was very, like, if there were lumps of coals all year long, there is something to say about the Santa's Nice list for this coming weekend because so many people who are in title games are going to be relying on players in these smash games. Vikings at Packers, great game.
Yeah.
Monday night special, Bills at Bengals.
That's good.
I mean, and so many people that made it this far have all of these players playing. Even the Dolphins at Patriots is interesting, and so is the Bears at the Lions.
Let's hope.
What a great season. Yes. Thank you, everybody. Good luck in your title games.
All right. Good luck to you.
Cheers.
All right.